Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. And today we're joined by Marcia Justice. Marcia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Grayson. Thank you.
It's great to have you. Marcia is here to share her testimony today. And Marcia, just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
We'll do so. But first of all, I'll just thank you two for all you do to get this, not only around church, but all you do for even this podcast and the time and attention it takes, but obviously an encouraging place. So thanks for you guys for all you're doing. So I grew up on a farm in Augusta County. I went to Fort Defiance High School. I was the youngest of four kids. I have two sisters and a brother. We grew up in a very sports-minded family. Most of the family played tennis, and that was a driving force. I kind of broke out and did a lot of basketball, and that's part of my story that I'll get to a little bit later. Had a great childhood, came to know the Lord at a very young age. And really, I credit that to my mom. I'll always say that she let the presence of the Lord be known in our house really from day one. And I don't want to throw my dad under the bus. He was actually a driving force of that too. But she was a stay-at-home mom, and you know that was an environment that she certainly created. Dad came along and fostered that.
That's beautiful. It's so beautiful. So do you remember when you accepted Christ? Do you remember that experience?
I do remember that experience. Again, it was a gradual process of knowing that I was with the Lord. But if I really had to pinpoint a specific time, I grew up in the Brethren Church. They had something called National Youth Conference every 4 years. It was the summer before my senior year. We were in Colorado Springs, Colorado for a youth conference, and that's where it happened.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's great.
So you mentioned you grew up in a Christian home, two Christian godly parents that gave you an example, and youngest of four. So what was it like growing up in Augusta County in a Christian home, youngest of four?
It was a good life. I was probably spoiled in that later in life. I feel like I have not, let's say mid-20s, I probably wasn't able to deal with some hardships that came my way. Because I had a pretty perfect life growing up. Things came easy to me. My home life was good. I had good friends, was successful in a lot of things I did. So it was really picture perfect.
That's great. You know, it always amazes me. There's some that come in and share their testimony, and man, they hit hard things early in life, you know, and then others will come and go, yeah, I had pretty smooth sailing until.
Right.
And it hits us all. But it hits us at different times.
I would totally agree.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with raising kids, too. I think kids are going to give you a hard time, whether it's age 2, 12, some of them it's not till 22.
Yeah.
But everybody's going to hit hard roads in life.
Yeah. There's
at some point.
Yeah. The crisis is going to come at some point in our life, and we're going to really need Jesus, right?
Right.
So, I know your parents, and they're a picture of faith, of stability, and that is an amazing way to be able to grow up that way. So where did you go to college?
I went to Liberty University, and that's a kind of a lead-off point I'd love to talk about.
Okay.
I grew up, like I said earlier, I played a lot of tennis, but basketball was my real passion. That was my real heart. I kind of had a decision with my private tennis coach at one point. He said, do you want to play college tennis? Are you playing college basketball? I was actually way better at tennis, but I chose basketball. Follow my heart and follow my passion there. So I went to Liberty University, played my whole freshman year. Great experience with the school, great experience with the team, loved the team, only liked my coach. Notice I didn't say I loved him there. And then life just kind of hits. Playing Division I sports totally consumes you. Like I wasn't home for Thanksgiving break, and I already spoke about the importance of what my family meant. So long story short there, I ended up giving up basketball at the end of my freshman year. And I kind of recall going in and talking to my coach. I didn't have my mind totally made up, but I said, Coach, hey, we had a good relationship. I said, I think I'm wanting to be done. And he just assumed I wanted to go somewhere else. He says, okay, I got plenty of other coaches around the country. I can highly recommend you. Where do you want to go? I said, Coach, I think I want to stay right here. I was loving the school. I was loving my friends. So decided I wanted to stay there. So I walk out of his office. And I can just remember that night. I was really, down in the dumps. I was sulking. Like, what am I going to do without basketball in my life? Because that's all I'd really ever known. That's what I did with all my free time. So that, let's say that happened on a, I don't remember for sure, but let's say that happened on a Monday. On Tuesday, this girl in my hallway, you know, she's kind of like everybody on your hallway. I knew her face. I might have known her name. I don't remember it at this point. But certainly was not somebody that I hung out with. And she invited me to go to a Youth Quest rally. Youth Quest was a club that we had on campus. And it was crazy, but I said yes to her. And I went back to my room. I'm like, why did I say yes to her? Like, she's just not somebody I would have normally hung out with. But I did it. I kept my commitment to her. Went to this Youth Quest rally. And it was really there that the Lord, he had been working in my heart, possibly about full-time ministry. But it was there that he really, again, when we talk about having a call to salvation, I had a specific call of that night, kind of raising my hand and saying yes to full-time ministry. And I really felt like the Lord used basketball to get me to a Christian school and then sent me a different direction. Proverbs says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose that prevails. And, you know, my purpose, let's win a national championship. I'm on a great, successful team. You know, those were my wishes and desires. But God clearly called me to ministry and used that time to take me that direction. So I wouldn't trade that for anything. But again, the Lord changed why he had me there.
Yeah, that just amazes me that one day you walk in and you give something up, and the next day it's replaced with something that was your call.
Right.
And I just said to someone today, like, when we remove the things of this world from our life, what do we fill it with?
Right.
Like, it's so important that we fill that God-shaped void with God, right?
Right. Yeah.
And just to see that happen where there wasn't weeks or months.
Right, right.
But there was within 24 hours.
And there could have been. Yeah. But I'm thankful in my story there wasn't. I mean, I joined that club that night, and it's like all the time I'd been putting into basketball now went. In that club, you know, we went to Chicago once for spring break. We were kind of traveling up and down the coast just doing youth rallies with folks. So it was a good introduction to ministry.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of the things you learned playing sports, you were able, teamwork, you know, working together. And, you know, you mentioned that your coaches ministered to you. You learned a lot of that. So God used it.
Absolutely. And he's still using it. You know, I don't know how far we're going to get in my story, but that's what I'm currently doing. Basketball's kind of faded in and out of my life at different times, but now that's my ministry. So,
would you like to talk a little bit about how basketball is involved in your ministry right now?
Absolutely. So I'm currently working as an assistant coach for basketball at Bridgewater College. And I had worked for a parachurch organization prior to that, and I had the opportunity there to openly share the gospel. We had Bible study. I could pray with students. I could open the word with them. All of a sudden, I transitioned from that to now I'm in the sports world. I'm not saying I directly can or can't. I've probably not pushed those limits. I have at times. But the Lord has really called me to minister in different ways and has given me peace with that. Scripture, again, 1 John says, we love because he first loved us. I'm really passionate about loving these young ladies and hoping, Pastor Kevin's been on this song and this whole sermon series of The One. I already have that song hanging in my cubicle long before he started doing it here for the past few weeks, because that is my ministry now. And they know where I stand. I was meeting with a young lady the other day that, trust me, things are not always perfectly, it's not always a Christian environment. Let's say this, but the girls are conscientious without me saying much. They know where I stand. And I was meeting with a young lady the other day, and she let several cuss words fly. And she said, I'm sorry, coach, I shouldn't have said that in front of you. Obviously, I put my arm around her later at practice. I said, thanks for the reverence. Thanks for apologizing. You know I'm going to love you no matter what. And I also think being with these young ladies, I love college-age students. They're leaving home for the first time. They're ready to explore the world, usually open to a whole lot of new things, but they've left their mamas behind. And that's something I can use recruiting too. I usually pull moms aside and say, I'll take care of your daughters. And I think that's an important thing in our coaching staff. The other two ladies that I coach with don't have children. And they kind of tease me in an endearing way sometimes that I'm the team mom. And as long as I can still be hard on them with X's and O's, they're okay with me being the team mom and realize that these girls need that. And I'm a firm believer if they're not well taken care of off the court, they're not going to reach their maximum ability on the course. So that's taking care of them emotionally, physically, going to get them medicine, driving them to the doctor, all those kind of things. So literally being the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Being present with them, meeting them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. So I don't want to miss the years between, you know, from high school, college, up to where you are now. Okay. So
I think you met somebody in college, didn't you? Funny enough, he's from this area, but you had to go away.
Right,
to...
somewhat. We didn't actually meet in Lynchburg. We met in Harrisonburg, referring to my husband, Clayton. We've been married for 29 years, but we met probably because of Liberty. He had been there a year prior to me, and somebody said, hey, he goes there. So that's kind of the subject line of why we started talking.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So you all met. What did that look like? How long did you date?
We dated for 3 years, got married. Like I said, we've been married for 29 years, have three daughters that came out of that, 25, 22, and 19 right now. Have a son-in-law. And the best part of this whole story is that I have two grandkids now.
That is the best part of the story.
We just came from fall break at Bridgewater. And when I get time off, I make a beeline to Newport News where those two live and enjoy spending time with those kids.
Yeah, there's nothing like grandchildren. We love our children, but...
It's different.
Grandchildren are special.
But back to what you had said, Margaret, there was a lot in between there that happened. And I was very fortunate coming out of college that got offered a job with my home church. They had just lost their youth pastor. I'd done an internship with them. Obviously, it's my home church, I think, and you two have experienced that. There's nothing like, it's an honor to serve the Lord anywhere.
Right.
But the opportunity to serve my home church for 6 years was a real blessing and a good thing in life. I transitioned out of that. Actually, I didn't totally transition. When I had Lindsay, I was still doing, I cut back my hours, but still becoming a mother. And at one point, I assumed I would keep working. I'm Enneagram 1. I like to work. I like to get my to-do list done. So I just assumed I'd keep working. And the Lord clearly said to me one day, I don't even know that I was asking him, but he said, you spent time taking care of other people's kids. Now it's time to take care of your own kids. So I transitioned there and became a full-time mom. And again, those weren't always easy years, partly because of the way I was built, partly because they were three girls, and I felt like life threw about everything it could have to us. But they are years that I wouldn't trade for anything. Yeah. And I'd love to take an opportunity to just encourage any moms that it's hard work if you're raising those little ones. It's hard work even if you're still working and raising little ones, or even when they're teenagers. Those are hard things, but things that are well, well worth it. And a story that always encouraged me was Jesus feeding the 5,000. What did he take? The five loaves and two fish. But if you've ever noticed, and all the Gospels don't talk about it, I know John does, that those came from a little boy's lunch. And let me be clear, Scripture doesn't go on to talk about this. But if I'm reading some things into the story that are going to encourage me, I'm going to guess that that little boy's lunch was packed by a mom. Again, that's not scriptural, so I don't want to be starting rumors here that I'm adding things to the Bible. But I think that encouraged me, and I hope it can encourage some other young moms, that you feel on a daily basis like, oh my goodness, all I did today was pack somebody's lunch. But you never know how the Lord can use that. And in this biblical story, the Lord used that to work a miracle. Mm-hmm. So you never know when that can happen. And also during those years that I was home with my kids, I really was intentional about being in the school system, volunteering in the school system a lot. And again, those, I felt like I've had a presence in ministry all my life. Sometimes it's been paid, sometimes it's not, but always had that call to ministry and really spent a lot of those days specifically encouraging, praying for, and trying to minister to teachers was important to me. And then my kids always joke, they're like, when mom went on field trips with us, she spent more time with other kids than she did us. I would try to kind of seek out the kids that maybe didn't have anybody to sit with at lunch, just to be with them and be a God presence to them.
Yeah, that's powerful because we, you know, as believers, we are ministers, right?
Right.
And being intentional and about where we're at. And sometimes we can get so caught up in the worry of yesterday or the cares of tomorrow, right, and we can miss those really important times within our family and those that we encounter. And, you know, your girls in those days may have, you know, had some of those feelings, but now they look back and they have a model for what it looks like to be present and to care for other people.
Hopefully so.
Yeah. It's there. I can guarantee it.
We talk a lot about around here about being present. Mm-hmm. And also it sounded when you're talking about not just being present, but seeking out kind of the invisible or the lonely person and making sure that they felt not alone or not invisible.
Right. You'd have classrooms sometimes and you'll say there's 25 kids. Well, maybe 20 of them would have parents go, and it was very obvious some of those kids that felt left out, and you know they were feeling less than just because their parents weren't there. So
yeah,
I was trying to be intentional with that.
Yeah. So maybe you could tell us, you've been in ministry for the best part of your life. So could you share with us, just as someone who's been in paid ministry and unpaid ministry, like, maybe some high points and some low points. Like, what does that look like? Because it's not always great, right? Like, in ministry,
absolutely.
Ministry is hard. And ministry is great.
Right, right.
So talk to us about that.
It's a glorious burden.
Yes, that's right.
Pastor Carey. I saw him recently, and I told him, our life group doesn't often meet that we don't somehow quote something from Pastor
Carey. Right?
Yes. So one of those low points for me, I was working for a Christian organization that also did ministry. I don't know if we would remember here. It was way back when a young man, they came to church here. His name was Joe Dizell. Yeah. He lived right across the street from us in Barrington. He came over one day. Allie, which is my youngest child, was headed to kindergarten. So I knew I was wanting to transition back into the work world, and Joe knew that as well. So I went to work for Joe in this organization. And I had 10 really, really wonderful years there. A lot of highs. I kind of considered that a sweet spot of life. Like, that was a melting pot of my sports world and my ministry world. It was a really, really sweet spot to be for 10 years. When it ended, it didn't end well. And you know, those things happen sometimes. We were transitioning bosses. My current boss was about to leave. And so he's like, do you want to go with me or you stand? What are you doing? I really sought the Lord a lot in that. And I very specifically felt the Lord to say to me, I want you to bridge the gap. Like he literally gave me that word, bridge the gap. He's like, you may stay with the new boss, you may not, but at least I want you here in the interim. An interim boss also took over at that point in time. And he called me out on a HR requirement that my previous boss had exempted me from. And I'm not going to go into a ton of detail there, but he exempted me from it for a reason. He felt like it wasn't applicable to the actual ministry I was doing. And this interim boss said to me, I need you to fulfill this HR requirement, which required me getting on a plane, going all the way across the country. He gave me 3 dates to get it done by the end of the year. He's thinking I can certainly get that accomplished. I couldn't, because I was already working at Bridgewater College at that time. 2 of the dates would have literally conflicted with games. And the other one was conflicting with some recruiting that I had. So I went back to him with that. Again, long story short, he said, I guess you can be volunteer then. I used the word fired. I felt fired. Clayton says I shouldn't use that word because he says I wasn't fired. But that's kind of how it felt to me. Mm-hmm. And I would pause here and say, it's hard to lose a job. I think it's hard to lose a job, extra hard. To lose a job that you love and you felt called to, and then it's even extra, extra hard to lose a job in ministry. You know, in full transparency, and that's what led to this question, it was a low point for me, not only in ministry, but in all life. Here, I felt like the Lord told me to bridge the gap. But then he told my interim boss something completely different. And I'm like, those two worlds don't match up. Spent a lot of time just wrestling with that. Really didn't even want to do ministry for, I don't know, felt like a long time. In reality, it was probably a year that I wasn't really willing to do that. Because again, if I go back to feeling fired from something, I just didn't feel validated, credible. I kind of felt like he was calling me out on things. But as I talked through that with counselors and friends, one of the things that one of them pointed out to me that I think could be helpful to other people listening. Did God truly need me to bridge the gap? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Maybe I'll find that answer out someday. But more than anything, God needed me to say yes to be willing to bridge the gap. Mm-hmm. So I've just kind of had to rest in that. And James 1 talks about going through trials. I've had to rest in the fact that I raised my hand and said, Lord, I'll be obedient to what you want me to do. I probably wouldn't prefer to bridge the gap. I was kind of ready to move on. But the Lord asked me to do that. And I got to kind of rest in that. But it was a hard season, again, both personally, but then ministry-wise. It kind of knocked me off my feet. And it took a while to get going again from a ministry standpoint.
Kind of hits our character. It hits your purpose, your, you know, everything that you were about. Mm-hmm. So I have one question. So if you look back at that situation, would you want to be the person you was before you went through that hardship?
Well, of course, I'd kind of like to be, because that's a trick question, Margaret.
Right.
You'd like to be, because it was a painful season of life. It literally happened the day before my middle daughter, Mariah, left for college. Mm. That even losing her was, she's the most like me in my family. She's kind of my sounding board, and we think and talk alike. So like, A, I'm losing her, and then this bad, really negative thing is happening at the same time. So it just was painful. So in that sense, no, we don't want to go through painful things. But I've already kind of mentioned 1 John. We know that it's those trials that produce perseverance, which eventually produces character and maturity. And you also have to think about Christ and his suffering. And if we're to join with Scripture, talks about joining with him in his suffering.
Right.
Certainly he had worse things than that happening to him, even in ministry.
I know what the answer would be, that, you know, God used that to grow you, and it might have crumbled some foundation, but I bet your foundation was even that much more secure on the other side of it.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to go back and relive it, but maybe he used it to strengthen you.
Absolutely he did.
Yeah.
And continued, I think that reaffirms a call once I got back to it about what your call is and why are you doing this. And while it crumbled it, it then rebuilt it in a good foundational way.
So you're right now, you're back to coaching. Mm-hmm. What's that look like on a regular basis?
You're getting to spend, for the most part, 6 days a week for 6 months out of the year with those young ladies. We are one of the longer sports. Football's always in the fall. Some of the soccer's in the spring. We are one of those that bridge both semesters. Mm-hmm. And so to be with those young ladies for, 6 days a week, you're traveling with them. We're headed to Puerto Rico in December. The opportunity to be with someone that much, again, it's a different kind of ministry that I'm able to do life with them more. Again, I can't open up the word. I can't pray with them as much. But the fact that you're just doing life with them, that you're there to be able to encourage them on a daily basis, is a really cool thing. And again, I've found that to be my ministry now. But back to specifically answer your question, this past Saturday, I went to Roanoke. There were probably 20 teams there. We had a few kids we were specifically looking at that, like, coach said, hey, I am an assistant coach. My head coach said, hey, you need to watch these two. I watched them, but then you're taking notes on anybody else that you may see. Last evening, we had practice. Our Tuesday and Thursday practices right now are going from 8:30 to probably 11 p.m.
Wow.
That's been a little adjustment for me, going that late, but that's just logistics of where our season is right now. And right now, we're only going 2 days a week. We're hosting three recruits this coming weekend. One's staying overnight. So in that kind of season, again, I'll transition more into recruiting and taking young ladies and their families, usually around campus. And I spoke earlier, I'll usually try to connect with a mom and dad, because I get what that feels like, leaving your kid at school. So that's a good place to connect with parents and minister to them in any way. And then we start our season full time October the 15th. We'll start playing games the end of October, and you hope you're still playing in March.
That's right. Yeah.
But I love the opportunity to be an assistant coach. I've been a head coach plenty, and I don't love that. I love the idea that I can throw out all the ideas in the world, but it's not on my shoulders if it happens or not. And I've gotten to a good place with my head coach that, you know, she gives me so much freedom to say what I want to say. But then if it goes wrong, I'm like, ultimately, she decided if
that's
we were
right.
going to do it or
that's
not.
That's right.
And I've seen it. Sometimes she's used my ideas and they didn't work out, and she'll look at me and she just rolls her eyes. But there's other times that it does work out, and I'm working for a great coach that gives me lots of freedom to say what I want to say and use my basketball experience. Yeah. Grayson, you alluded to that a little bit earlier. You know, while my playing career ended, there's so much that I learned playing Division I basketball that's helping me today.
Yeah, I just love how it's just been a string that you can pull through your whole life.
It has been.
It has been, it has been there.
Yeah.
The ups and downs of it.
And I never had a desire to coach at all. Mm. Like when I left college, no desire at all to coach. So it's the Lord has, and we haven't talked about this. The Lord kind of planted this job in my lap. I didn't ask for it. They were down an assistant coach. It was COVID year. I was good friends with the head coach at the time. I was actually serving as a character coach for them. So I was with the team a lot. And she simply said, hey, we just lost an assistant coach. We only have like 3 months left of our season. Can you simply fill in?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, I'll fill in. And I've just kind of kept staying and kept staying. So when I initially said yes to it, it was just to help her out through a few months.
And you mentioned that you studied ministry in college and you served at your local church in the youth. But it sounds like where you really found your passion was in college ministry. And I remember my first 2 years of college, like I was away at college. But when I came home, you led and Clayton helped you. Y'all kind of filled the void there for a couple of years at our church in the college ministry.
Yes, I definitely found my niche and I love college age. The Lord had me in working with middle school and high schoolers for a while. I've coached some high school basketball here and there, but I wouldn't trade working with college kids for anything. And yes, I was thankful for that season that Pastor Carey allowed Clayton and I that platform. That was probably some of the first time I started working with college age. So that was a good thing.
Yeah, just another kind of an on-ramp to the college age or a good way to transition. Mm-hmm. Just all fits into the tapestry of your life.
Right.
Yeah. Marcia, kind of a two-part question. We call this program Hope Talks, and you've probably shared this already, but what right now is giving you the most hope? And then after that, anything else that we haven't asked you already that you'd like to share?
I think one thing that's given me the most hope right now, and I think just a pretty cool thing to share too, is I lost my mom over a year ago. It was September. She had pulmonary hypertension, and so my mom was on oxygen for the final 5 years of her life. And there at the very end, she was feeling some chest pains one evening, and she entered the emergency room. There was actually fluid on her heart at that time that they were able to drain, and she was very comfortable at that point. But it was also once she entered the hospital and was seeing some of her primary doctors, at this point she was in ICU at UVA, that the doctor simply came to us. And while mom looked great, they just said she is not well. And they had given us a timeline of about 2 weeks. She ended up living for 3 weeks, got to see all of her grandkids, got a chance to say goodbye to all of them. And this is where I come back to, this is what gives me hope. She said to all of them, she said, you can be sad that I'm gone, but be happy for where I'm going. Wow. And the way she faced those final 3 weeks of life was just amazing. She was ready to see her Lord and Savior. And scripture says, you know, we don't grieve like other people grieve. Knowing that she's with the Lord right now, like there are days that this is really sad. But if my grandkids go to Disney World, I might miss them. But I'm really happy they're in Disney World.
Right.
Man, my mom's with the Lord right now.
Amen.
So that is, there are days that's sad. But for the most part, I'm happy for her. I'm thankful for the legacy she left me. I'm thankful for the legacy she's left our entire family, including those kids. And a couple of little stories that happened there at the end. Mom passed away on a Thursday. And on Tuesday, my brother, who lives in Richmond, he had been in for a few days. He was headed back home. He had been here for a while. And while he was here and in person, we knew the end was imminent. We wanted to go ahead and plan mom's service. And one of the songs we chose was Trust in God. So that had planned. Now move forward 24 hours. My oldest sister, Robin, was with my mom when she passed. And Robin had been playing worship music all day. But my mom passed during that song, Trust in God. So that's, again, that's a God thing, that the Lord knew that. And another really cool thing that happened there, too. The hospice nurse had said to my dad, she said, have you said goodbye to her? And he's like, no, probably not really. He did so, and she passed within 15 minutes. So I think that's a really cool thing, of the power that people have to hang on at the very end. They know when things are all settled, and they're at peace with moving on.
That's powerful.
Marcia, thank you for joining us today. It's been great to have you.
Thank you, Grayson and Margaret.
Yeah, it's been really good to have you here.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Marcia Justice's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.